My name is Jake Rosen, point guard at Churchill High School. Last year, we were incredibly successful on and off the court, and it wouldn't have happened without Lead 'Em Up. The weekly sessions enabled us as individual leaders and as one collective group. We learned how to hold each other accountable and truly get the best out of one another. For me, Lead 'Em Up has taught me lifelong lessons. From sugar and salt to digging for the gold, I still use Coach Bradley's concepts frequently to this day.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Today, I'm joined by Coach Kyle, our regional Lead 'Em Up coach based down in Florida, and we are talking about the role of having a guest speaker come out to your team. This topic doesn't get discussed almost ever, despite being something that almost every team engages in. We all know it. We've all been a part of it. It's that long-standing tradition. Coach invites the speaker to come out and share with the team. The team sits around or maybe spreads throughout the bleachers. Coach introduces the speaker. Oftentimes, that individual is an alum or someone who's been successful from the community or a relatively successful athlete that's played at the next level. The speaker speaks after they've been introduced. Towards the end, coach brings the talk to that close, reinforcing a few of the speaker's major points. And I always love this part that happens. They begin re-emphasizing almost in a pleading type manner to the players. Listen to what he or she just shared. Take it to heart. Coach then thanks the speakers. Kids are dismissed. They go on to their next activity. Coach lingers around for a moment with the speaker to show their appreciation of the message and the time that was spent. And they almost always say a statement like this, Kyle: this was a message the kids needed to hear. Thank you so much. Right? You hear that quite often. This is a part of sports. It's been a part of sports. And for all intents and purposes, it's a good thing. The speaker's heart is in the right place. The coach's intentions are in the right direction. My concern and what I want us to discuss is, despite those good intentions, does it actually produce the results intended? Is the plan in the coach's mind prior to the speech actually produce the result they desire to see? Did they achieve the goal? And the goal in this case almost always comes down to one of three things, or a combination of three things: some form of education, some form of motivation, or some element of inspiration. When I say education, the hope and the goal that the players will learn something new, advancing them or propelling them into the future. Or motivation, which is more of a short-term burst, an improvement of performance, right? A short-term motivational performance boost. Or an inspiration. This is the ultimate goal, right? That there's some type of long-term shift mentally that creates a life-changing change in the players. That, you know, I heard this one speaker speak this one time and it changed my life forever. Well, I believe if you were to sit down and ask the players their input on those three things and discuss with them if those three things were accomplished at a high level, I believe we will not be pleased with the results of those answers. I think more often than not, you'll hear players give less than satisfactory answers to those questions. Because I don't think in most cases, certainly there are outliers. In fact, you may be a coach who has experienced that outlier position where you did experience a change from a guest speaker's perspective. But I believe more often than not, collectively as the team, the impact and the results that we hope the guest speaker would produce often doesn't produce it. Certainly not at the level you intended or had hoped. Kyle, it's a topic not talked about a lot. When you hear about guest speaker, you're a coach. Where do your thoughts go with it?
I agree. It's not talked about enough. And I've been there as a player and both a coach, listening to a guest speaker or bringing one in. And so when I think about this topic, guest speakers, when used effectively, are a good thing. And I think that's the core of what we're going to address today. If you don't, and you just kind of leave it up to chance, and like you said, it's almost like a box to check off. We had a guest speaker come in, but what do we do after that? And your point of hitting three things, education, motivation, and inspiration, brought me to the quote from Zig Ziglar. And I'm a big quote guy. I think our listeners will realize that over these episodes we record. But he famously said that people often say motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. And that's why we recommend it daily. The problem with just relying on a guest speaker is, what do you do 3 weeks later? Because the kids today, they want information. They want to be led. They want to be inspired. But hearing a message one time isn't going to last. The attention span isn't there with everything else that they get thrown their way. And so that's where my concern is what do you do after the message is delivered?
Yeah, I mean, if you're taking aside 30 to 45 minutes as a team to engage with the guest speaker and you're doing it numerous times throughout the year, you know, you're spending hours then essentially in this element, investing in your kids. And you just have to ask the question, do you like the return on your investment?
Mm-hmm.
And in light of today's world where there's just more and more on people's plate, more and more on young people's plates, I continue to be blown away with the busyness of young people's schedule. They've got so much to do. We then have to examine as coaches, are the things we're having our players engage in producing the return that we need to see? Is it truly benefiting them? Or as you mentioned, just simply checking off a box? And part of where I think the biggest trap with guest speakers is, as we've mentioned, it's not a bad thing in and of itself, but it does become a bad thing when the guest speaker becomes a substitute to something that could be greater. And that's what mm-hmm. we see most often, that there are individuals, many teams, many programs out there. When you talk about the process of developing those players into leaders, and what is your plan? What is your process to execute that? How are you going to accomplish that? They go and they lean on this notion that we invite guest speakers to our team. We've got a series of just inspirational speakers that are going to pour into these young people and help develop them. So then you have to ask the question, does a single standalone speech from a individual that there's no relationship with in most cases prior, where there's no ongoing after effect of follow-up, there is no repetition-based interaction in the midst of it, is that going to produce the result? So then at that point, the guest speaker, Kyle, becomes a bad thing because it's taking away from something that could be a good thing. Now we're damaging, even though we don't realize it, because we're losing. You know, there is a thing in business called the opportunity cost, right? Like, you may have been spending time on this and you may not think I lost any money per se, but what if you'd spent those 10 hours somewhere else and you could have grew five times the impact? Well, then guess what? Now you did lose the opportunity to grow. So it did cost you something.
Exactly. Think about it from this perspective. We didn't mention this talking earlier, but just hearing you say that challenges me to, and maybe other coaches, if your team gets inspired and needs a guest speaker, well, they should get inspired, but if they need a guest speaker to truly inspire them and to get their effort and motivation levels up, then it's probably a little bit of a red flag that, hey, we're falling short in some other areas. Because if we truly are developing them and pouring into them, as the saying goes, that, you know, in one of our core beliefs, the more you pour into your athletes, the better they're going to perform. Well, if we need a guest speaker to come in and pour into our athletes, then where am I falling short as a coach? So it kind of goes to these three things that we have to consider of what can we get from a guest speaker? Where do they fall short? So number one, are our kids still referencing the themes and the messages from the guest speaker 6 months out? And we can talk about our NPS filter and lead them up here in a little bit, but I think that's what's great about what we do. Two is, you know, sitting for 30, 45 minutes, is that actually giving your players the reps needed to be a better leader, to perform at a higher level? is that, like you said, worth the time, the opportunity cost? And then thirdly, we can talk about the potential disconnect that comes from, does this speaker match your core beliefs in the program? Because that's a fine line. And if it's not communicated the right way, that's almost a trap where you could have a breach in the trust or the communication between you and your players.
Yeah, those three things are great. And let's talk about them. You know, are they still referencing the message months out? That is an indicator of resonation. Mm-hmm. Did the message resonate with your players? Okay. And it's also an indication of relativism in the sense, did the message relate to the players, right? Was it just simply a high arching theme of success and hard work that didn't really reach them where they are in this moment as a 14, 15 year old, right? So did it relate to them? If it did, you usually see some type of long-term indication or referencing. And that did it resonate with them? If it did, then usually you will see that after. But once again, I don't believe in most cases from a guest speaker perspective that happening. It's very far and few in between. And keep in mind, let me just define this a little bit more. When I say guest speakers from my perspective, I'm not talking about a LeBron James. I'm not talking about a Coach K. I'm not talking about a Steph Curry. I don't view them as guest speakers. These high profile, high notable individuals, I don't refer to them as guest speakers. Those are more paid speakers, okay? Like if you get a chance to have them in your program, that's a paid speaker, okay? I'm talking about the general, let's bring in this graduate from our program a few years back, right, that's gone on, played next level, to talk about what does it take to be successful. The general invitation of those in the community that we are most accustomed to, they're probably comprised of the majority of guest speakers. In fact, I am and have been that person, Kyle. This is a knock against me. For a long time, I have been a guest speaker. I've been invited to speak to teams and come out and work with them. And the reality is now I've changed my tune. I don't do it anymore. And if I do it, I do it with questioning of the coach. There's a conversation to be had. And the conversation is really about, what do you hope to accomplish? Like, that's cool. I appreciate it. I'm humbled. You're willing to reach out and ask me if I'll come out and speak to the team. But like, but what's the goal? Okay. Right. Because a single talk, to your point of me coming out, I don't think it's going to resonate enough, just a single 30, 40 minute session with a guy who has no relationship with your program. Okay. Where there's no kind of dialogue per se, where it's just a single session. To your point, I don't think they're going to reference it. They'll probably won't remember me 3, 4, 5, 6 months away. It's hard. Okay. So I think from that aspect, it's really tough. I think to your second part about, are we giving them reps? I think there may be a lot of coaches that say, I don't even understand what that means. We're giving them reps. Okay.
Right.
That's a phrase in Lead 'Em Up where, you know, we believe, you know, through our program, we give the players opportunities to get repetitions. Okay. So if we're going through a communication exercise like sugar and salt, right, where you're trying to learn that art of communication, how to balance, you know, the art of speaking with sugar at moments of speaking with salt and how to incorporate the two, we take the players through repetitions. We give them opportunities to try to test their skills and their knowledge and learn from experience and then kind of break it down and discuss it. This type of interactive learning, right, where the players are involved, you're not getting that from a guest speaker in 30 to 40 minutes. They're having to go through their 5 points on their talking list and get through them. So to that second point, I don't think it happens in a great way there either, where kids are getting reps. They're not experiencing any hands-on learning in that setting. And then the third and last thing, does it match your core beliefs? I think in most cases, it will match general beliefs. Okay. I believe the general concept of the subject will be aligned with your beliefs in the sense of, you know, wanting to be successful and putting in the work and staying focused and those general themes. But you have to be careful, because I've seen many times that if it's slightly off, it can turn into a train wreck really quickly. It can become very uncomfortable. It can kind of be
like almost holding your breath, kind of like, oh, I hope they don't go down that road.
and you know, that person's disconnected from your program. So they may take the conversation in places you're not prepared for them to go.
And or there's something that could be said that might touch a nerve, or it might make, you know, someone a little unsettled on your team, or a topic that's brought up that they might not know or be aware of. So you're right about that. It could be very, you know, kind of a slippery slope when you're looking at some of those, you know, talks and how they go.
So that's where I think the guest speakers just, you know, it creates challenges. And, you know, when I also spend time, Kyle, thinking about the athlete, we spend a lot of time around the athlete. You know, when you mentioned earlier about the MPS filter, that represents memorable, portable, and sticky. We try to have everything we teach and lead them up be memorable. Will kids remember it? Is it portable? Is it easily taken with them? Okay. And is it sticky? Have we used phrases and concepts that stick to the hearts of our players?
Mm-hmm.
When we've spent years trying to study and learn and test and experiment things that stick to players, okay, right, to try to create our message in a way that resonates deeper. I'm going to tell you, most guest speakers probably haven't done that, okay?
I was thinking, do you remember what was said at your high school graduation speech?
I don't even remember who it was.
Neither do I. And being a high school teacher, I can only recall like one graduation speech that I sat through that was memorable, because it was one of my good friends and he referenced like Star Wars themes throughout the speech and people kind of latched on to that, you know. So going back to, do your kids get reps and the benefit of getting reps? And I think this is kind of really important. I wanted to share this story because, one, I think it's really goofy and funny, but it really changed like the trajectory of my life when I think about it, because I'm a very introverted person if people don't know me. And in high school, being a part of sports was always kind of near a leadership or a captain role, but I wasn't vocal, especially in my younger years. And one of the electives that I had to take was a speech class. And you're more of an extrovert than I am, Adam. So you probably taking a speech class in high school would have been like nothing. But we had to give these like 3 and 5 minute speeches, and I was terrified. And I didn't want to get up and speak in front of people. Now that's one of my ultimate like career ambitions and goals. And what switched me to be more comfortable to start doing that was a teacher that forced me to have repetition at it. It wasn't her or someone telling me, you need to get up and overcome your fear. Just look out in the audience and pretend that no one's really there. Like, that doesn't resonate with me. And what we had to do was a bunch of guys on the basketball team in this class together. The assignment that she gave us was to get up on stage and pantomime a song and a dance to Boys to Men. And it was so awkward and uncomfortable. And it was like dreading this, being in front of your peers or your friends. But just getting a little bit of repetition of being in front of other people and realizing it's okay to do something that's out of your comfort zone then gave me the confidence on a football team to start speaking up more. Then I take that confidence from a football team and translate that to leadership positions in college. And then that goes into the workplace and to where I'm at now. So I think, again, the guest speaker is great. But what happens when you give a kid a rep at something that they haven't done before can change their life. Rather than just hearing about it, they get to do it.
Hey, this is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Great leaders focus on results and relationships. The power is found in the word "and." As leaders, we tend to have a natural bias to lead one way or the other. It's typically results or relationships. In fact, less than 1% of leaders can do both really well. Some of the leaders in my restaurant are aggressive about the results. They like to get things done, They like to talk about the numbers. They tend to focus more on the what rather than the who. While other leaders are passionate about developing deeper relationships with the people around them. They want to know what makes people tick, who does what best. They take the time to learn the hopes and dreams of those on their team. It's being able to do both that really brings success, but that doesn't mean it comes easy. So the challenge for my leaders and the challenge I have for you is to know what your bias is, acknowledge it, and then look for ways to compensate. Now let's jump back into the episode.
First of all, that sounds awkward. It was up and dancing and such.
Boys to men. I mean, end of the road in front of your friends. It was, I cringe at it. I mean, it must have been awful.
You know, when I think about that student athlete and their learning environment, when it comes to this theme of guest speaker, they've been there and done that. I believe it has been such a common theme within teams that when you bring it up to players these days, Kyle, they tune out before it even begins. They're like, yeah, we got a guest speaker after practice. Yep. Okay. Been there, done that, heard that before. And they're already checked out before it even begins. It's just another thing. And I think there's a couple of things when we need to examine when we talk about making sure we maximize the minutes to get the greatest return on our investment. We need to look at a couple of things. One, I don't believe young people learn great in a lecture-based environment. I just don't think that's just not the approach to learning. And in fact, I don't think many people are. Maybe you are in a coaching clinic and you've got your notepad there and it's very purposeful and very specific to where you are in life. That's so different, right? If a coach is talking about a defensive strategy that you are thinking about implementing the next week in practice, that's a different type of lecture conversation. You're taking notes and you're connecting it to tomorrow, essentially. But that's not what's happening when the guest speaker is speaking to the team. They're speaking from a lecture-based perspective about things that don't even seem within the reach. They're not even in the immediate thought process in many ways for the young person. It's a lot about the future and what does it take and all these different things per se. So one, I don't think they learn great in a lecture-based environment, and that is what guest speaking is. Two, as I mentioned a moment ago, most kids have heard so many speakers during the course of their youth athletics and in the high school and in the college, they tune out before it even gets going. They hear enough speaking, lecturing type from their own coaches. Think about that. We naturally will lecture them, maybe not full scale 30 minutes, but every day, 5 minutes at the end of practice, a couple minutes before practice, right? They're already experiencing that, especially when coach allows their assistant coaches to also share their inputs as well. And before you know it, head coach speaks 4 minutes, three assistant coach each speak 3 minutes. We're sitting in the end of the huddle for 15 minutes. They're already exposed to these type of speaking sessions by us, let alone you pile another guest speaker on. It just becomes a lot.
And I've come out of 8 hours in the classroom setting where that happens a lot as well. It's been a long day.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. And I think at the end of it, I don't think players want to listen to guest speakers. Let's just say it like it is. I don't think they want to do it. So, and I'm not saying let's cater to everything our players want to do, okay? But we do need to take into consideration that if nobody on the team has a desire to do this, then their engagement and receptive nature in it won't be as strong. And you can't ignore that then, right? And that is one of the reasons why in like a program like Lead 'Em Up, we've worked so hard to get our leadership development program to a place where kids want to do it and don't feel like they have to do it, that they get to and not have to. It changes everything. All of a sudden you get people responding when you present your leadership program in a certain way. Players will say, man, I can't wait to do Lead 'Em Up this week. Hey, we doing Lead 'Em Up this week? Oh, yeah, we doing Lead 'Em Up today. Great. Yeah, can't wait. You don't hear that type of enthusiasm. Oh, we have a guest speaker today? awesome, man. I can't wait to be lectured to for 30 minutes. Kids don't say that. So they're already going in begrudgingly to this initiative within the team where you hope to accomplish greatness from it. It doesn't add up. The rest of the combination isn't set up for success, but yet we keep forcing it. We keep pushing it, thinking it's going to get the kids' attention. It's going to hit them. I think there's a better way.
Right. There's a better way, and it's a one-time investment with a guest speaker. Most high school programs aren't going to have someone that can come in weekly or even monthly. It might be once, twice, maybe three times a season. That's a small investment. But what happens is when you have a true program in place, you get a compounding interest over time because they're going to get, like we've mentioned, the repetitions, but they're going to become and get something more valuable than that. They're going to become a better person. And we know that, we see that through the work that we do and hearing that from coaches and players that have gone through that. But when you actually get to engage with the content rather than just hear it, because I'll give you another case in point, like you talked about attention span and kids not wanting to do it. Over spring break, a bunch of us parents took our kids to do this zip lining thing. And during the training, it was a guy that was talking to our kids about how to properly hook up and connect. And all of us parents, after 5 minutes, looked at each other and like, I checked out. I can't even follow this anymore. And the kids didn't actually grasp the concept until they did it. And it was like, they didn't even need to hear it from him anymore. They needed to do it. And so it's almost kind of the way with the guest speaker is get repetitions first. And then if you want to bring in a guest speaker, great, do that and make sure that they're reinforcing what you've already done, because then it further sinks home and you become that much more of a leader and you have much more authority amongst your team because someone else is backing up what you've already done.
Yeah, great point. And I love that illustration from your zip lining days, right? Person's instructing, it's like, can we just get to it, right? I'll probably learn quicker if I can just do it myself and start getting my hands dirty with it. Here's the other thing about the guest speaker dynamic is I think oftentimes success in life and an individual experiencing some success and having good principles and such doesn't necessarily make them a great connector to young people. Okay. And, and I think, yes, there are a lot of people that I can look at from a distance and say, okay, they've accomplished things. They seem to be doing things correctly. They seem to be headed in the right direction. They've overcome adversity, whatever it happens to be. They essentially have the resume equipped to be a guest speaker. I'll put it like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But how often do those guest speakers actually have the skill to present, to publicly speak in a nature that is dynamic and charismatic to impact and engage young people?
Man, probably not very often. It's pretty rare.
It's very rare, right? And we don't often think about that, okay? But we have to, okay? Once again, it's a quote that we referenced on episode 1. Good is not good enough if better is an option. Coaches need to be leaning into that quote all day. Guest speaker, good, but it's not good enough if better is an option. Having that person come out and speak because they've accomplished things, that's cool, that's good. But like, we need to vet them out a little bit more. Do they even have the ability to connect with young people? Are they even dynamic? Are they going to engage for 30 or 40 minutes with a young group of students right off the heels of a 2-hour practice? Okay.
What's the danger there if that doesn't happen? Like if they fall flat, if they don't deliver, if the kids don't connect, what's the danger of that for you as the coach?
I think there's multiple things, but I can tell you it deepens their displeasure with guest speakers for the future. Okay.
Well, whether it's a guest speaker or it's some other thing that you want to roll out, it then almost becomes an eye roll. Like, oh, I remember the last time we tried something new. I remember the last time there was something that we wanted to do team-wise, and that was a waste of time. So it kind of, again, lessens the credibility a little bit.
And I can tell you, as I've spent more time as a speaker publicly, and I always try to, you know, the majority of the speaking that I do is part of a program. Okay. So like I said earlier, I really refrain from single individual sessions. I don't really do them anymore. I push back and just ask the coach, what's the goal? And if they say, we just need a little boost, a little motivation, maybe I'll agree to it. But if they go anywhere else where they say, you know, we're trying to develop them, then I say, like, it's not going to work with a single session. Right. Like, so if you really want to go down this path, like, this is what I'm going to suggest. We create some type of schedule ongoing so we can really spend time and invest and develop skills. So, but as I've been doing this now for 6 years, and you begin to learn and improve the craft of speaking, it also paints the picture that there's more to it than simply getting up in front of the group and talking. You know, one of my mentors, Steve Shenbaum, president and founder of Game On Nation, who's a public speaker for a living. He works with high level. He has mastered his craft. You spend time with Steve and you begin to learn all these little nuances about speaking that in order to create a dynamic 30 minutes or 40 minutes, you need to pay attention to these things. You need to understand these things. When we roll out a guest speaker, I'm telling you, they don't think about any of these things. Okay. And what I mean by this is anything that's working against you when you're speaking to a group, or anything that you don't have working for you is working against you when you're speaking to a group. Okay, so things like, and you may not even pay any mind to it, but someone who's a teacher, a professional speaker, kind of moderator, and someone like, you know, that's trained to coach and develop leaders more than just a single isolated guest speaker, you know, they're going to come into a setting and, for example, I won't speak to kids with activity going behind me.
That's the challenging part about being in those environments in the school setting is there's always something going on behind you. The audio may not be working. Some kid might be causing a disruption. That may not happen in a team setting, but it's there.
But guest speakers aren't thinking about this. So you know, right. For me, there's things I'm thinking about, right? I need a noise controlled environment, because if there's noise distractions, it's now I'm working against that as I try to impact and pour into the young people. Okay. So I need a noise controlled environment, and I have to be very intentional with that. I need a temperature controlled environment. If we're speaking outside and it's too cold, kids are now distracted. I'm having to overcome that. If it's too hot and they're sweating and the sun is shining on them, that's a distraction. I now have to overcome that. So I need temperature controlled. I need noise controlled. I need a distraction limited environment. So once again, I don't speak with activity going behind me. The crowd and the students speak to me with nothing going on behind me or very minimal, because there's nothing worse than when you're speaking and then they're watching the other team practice in the background. Okay. There are time dynamics involved about how long of a speech. We usually break it up because we don't want to go too long all in one setting, right? I want to know about the condition and the environment that the team is in when I'm going to be speaking to them. Will they be coming off a series of losses? Will they be coming right off of a tough practice? Where's the current state and position mentally as a team? Listen, I say all of that because if I'm going to go into a speech and work with a team, I want everything working for me to help me, not be things I have to overcome as I try to impact them. Guest speakers don't care about all of that. But my guess is, if you were listening there, it all makes sense. Right. Which tells me that even, you know, when we think about just rolling someone out there to speak to our team, if you haven't taken all those things in consideration, they're walking into an environment that's already working against them. They already have a list of things that they have to overcome that they aren't even aware of or paying attention to. This role of speaking, just simply rolling a guest speaker out, my challenge to coaches moving forward is, one, I really want you to spend some time evaluating, does this produce the greatest return on my time invested? I want you to ask yourself the question, is what I'm trying to accomplish generated as a result of this activity? Mm-hmm. Three, is this activity being done at a high level, right? Free from the many distractions associated that prevent these type of sessions from being productive. Those are the things that I'd like you to think about. And part of the reason my hope for this conversation was really to put this topic under the microscope, because I don't think we have prior to maybe this episode.
Yeah, just to piggyback on one of the things you mentioned there, I think the hope of what anything that we would do as coaches with the intentionality of it, it should be, I think, two things to think about there with that is, number one is broaden. And we want to broaden the sense of possibility of what it can look like in our program by enhancing skills. The second one is building that skill set. So is that speaker going to broaden the sense of possibility? Maybe, but are they going to build the skill set? I think that's what we need to really focus on is with anything that we do, let's make sure we're building the skill set of the players and developing what we want to see in our program.
Yeah. Great point, man. Great point. Coaches, we appreciate you listening. And I hope today's episode challenged you to put something under the microscope that you admittedly probably have never done before. And I can't speak for all coaches, but I can tell you the large majority have probably just done this without much thought. And it's just been part of what they've always done. It's part of the tradition. They grew up with this type of impact. And I think we need to evaluate and assess it, because our time is limited. We need to be very intentional with our time. And I also want to challenge the coaches, the ones that have leaned on guest speakers as their tool for leadership development, to really ask yourself, is this truly producing leaders? Are my players legitimately growing? And can I see their tangible growth as a leader as a result of these guest speaking sessions? If you ask those questions and you say, oh, absolutely, unequivocally, yes, please tell me what you're doing, who the speakers are. I'd be very, you know, anxious and curious to hear what that is. But I'm going to guess that the answer is probably no, or certainly not at a high level that you're seeing the change there.
Yeah. And I'll close with this, Adam. One final thought I'd like to share just with our coaches and listeners out there is it's better to see and do something once than to hear it 1,000 times. And to your point, kids hear about things all the time. It's better to do it once than to hear it 1,000 times. So
yeah,
let's get them reps.
Yeah, rock on. Absolutely. Kyle, appreciate you. For Kyle, I'm Adam. Coaches, as always, have fun and lead them up. Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead them up.